Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. That is the peace. Allah's peace, God's peace be upon you, the peace that only He can give. And that peace obligates us. It's not just a greeting or a prayer, but it's a statement of obligation to our common human soul that God has created us to serve His will and plan for His world and people. Once again, welcome to Not Just Talk on AM360.org. I'm your host, Michael Hameen. And we're still on the air. I'm really live broadcasting. And I was thinking before coming on, I said, well, you know, this community, this worldwide community of Al-Islam, a way of life that offers human beings the best food for our souls, for our thinking. And I have a question for you. The question is, does a goodly word look like to you? Give me an example of a goodly word you know, it's no, this is just for those who care to give it some thought and respond. You know, for others, it's something, as they say, food for thought. Alhamdulillah. But the guidance of God is so awesome. I can't really find the suitable words to express how I think about and look at the guidance that Almighty God, Allah, gives us in the sacred Quran and its ability. The ability of the Quran to not just save people from a bad life, not just save people from prison or save them from mental institutions, but the ability of the Quran to change worlds, to change nations, to set human beings on a course for the pursuit of human excellence. All praise is due to Allah. And sometimes I see, we had the exercise Saturday evening past, of looking at the ascension, the model of human social architecture given to us in the upward movement, the mustaqim movement of Adam, Father Adam, and Prophet, movement upward, Jesus on the second level, Jesus and John, Yahya, and moving further upward, Yusuf, and then Idris, and then Aaron or Harun. And we talked about Harun somewhat this past Saturday, and then following him, his brother Musa, and then Abraham at the pinnacle, alayhi salam. And I remember being told that the ace in this movement is Prophet Muhammad. And in terms of the model human life and the model of community life, you know, God Most High calls Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, prayers and the peace of God be upon him, and the prayers and the peace from the servants of God be upon him. He represents a community life model, and the observation of that and how it operates is to be seen in the history of Medina. The city, Medina El Munawwara, the city of enlightenment. So I don't have a formal guest this evening again. So I invite you to be the guest and share your thoughts or reflections. And we look forward to them. And these thoughts and reflections are being recorded. They're being recorded, and hopefully that we'll be able to utilize these recordings in another form. Perhaps we can produce books or booklets that will preserve some of your thoughts and my thoughts long after we leave here. I've been thinking here this evening about legacy, and the way I describe it is putting something in your bank account with our Lord, Almighty God, Allah, that Allah has established for us an account. And he has established for us and for humanity an accounting, the day of judgment, the day of standing, the day of rising, judgment day. And it presents itself in different ways. There's going to be a final judgment day that we understand, and the people of the book, the Christians understand. So, what do you think? What does a goodly word look like to you? You know, that's language from the translation of the Holy Quran, that a human being is an example of a goodly word. And it further gives description. And we can see the logic of that. You know, Allah's creation, the creation of the exterior world, the cosmic reality, that world is a logical world. It has form, it has function, it has structure, and it has a trajectory. When Allah, High, Glorified, and Most High, decided to bring the cosmic world into reality from nothingness, from nothing. And the human family later on, much later on, from nothingness into created state of being. 314, I see you in just 1 minute. Let me hit the button here, and we bring you into the conversation. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Brother Mikhail, Michael, this is, yes, Kareem Hop.
Go ahead. Yes, welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
There you are.
You remember?
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Ladies and gentlemen, dear listening audience, we want to introduce you to the guest for this evening, Kareem Abdul Haq. And I'll let you describe, you know, yourself and your a little of your background, because we have a program from 8 until 9:30 Eastern time, and we want to give you this opportunity to share what you have for the audience. Brother Kareem, go ahead, please. Alhamdulillah.
I'd like to give my greeting of assalamu alaikum to all the listening audience, and I'd like to thank you for allowing me to share a little information with you all, and hope we be able to have an interacting conversation going on. My name is Kareem Abdul Haq, and I've been around the community for quite a few decades. And throughout the years of studying Islam, I also found another passion of economics and freedom, and I tied all in with my Islam. And so today I would like to just be able to, we just have a discussion about some principles about economics, but the economic principles are supported by Quran. Now, I may not be able to quote all of Quran with you today for everything I say, because the book that I wrote is about 300 pages. And so if we can't cover everything, of course, it's impossible to cover everything that's in the book. So I just want to give you some highlights. And like I said, economics to me is very, very important. It's one of the most important subjects that we could study and learn. And I tie that in is Islam, economics, and freedom. Freedom is also very, very important. We should understand the principles of freedom, the concepts of freedom, and deal with everything on that highest level of Islam, the highest level of economics, and the highest level of freedom. So that's where my passion, my interest, and that's what I do most of my research in. I'm not a scholar of other subjects. I mean, everybody got their own subject, but for me, I found that just economics and the concept of freedom very important to me.
Yeah. Crazy.
And also, I've written one on history, and the history is not just a lot. The history is specialized in history that dealing with the abolitionist movement. It's a specialized history book. It deals only with the freedom movement, mainly with the freedom movement, and how it started with the Declaration of Independence and how it culminated into the 13th Amendment. I wrote a book on the relationship between government, economics, and freedom, where I explain the different forms of government, the different types of economic systems, and I explain how you could compare the different economic systems with the different forms of government, and you take form of government and the best economic system. You put those two together, that's where you have freedom. You could easily match the wrong economic system with the wrong form of government if you do not understand them, and you have the opposite of freedom. You have oppression. You have suffering. You have poverty. You have slavery. I wrote another book called The Free Market Manifesto, where I get more in depth into the economic system that we have in America based upon the Constitution and the laws of this land and how it supports, the Constitution supports the free market. Then I wrote a book on Islam and economic ties and show how the Quran supports the free market. So I'm a free market advocate because in my books, I try to explain what the natural economic system is, what the best economic system is in the ideal sense. Then I show how it got corrupted, Then I show how it can be corrected. So I show what the economic system is supposed to look like. Then I show how it got corrupted, and then I show how you can fix it. And economics is so important. We always hear the terminology of our mandate, our responsibility to remake the world. Saying to the Muslims, if we don't understand economics and we don't understand economic principles, it's impossible for us to remake the world and to go forward. It's like a bird with one wing. We have our Islam, but we need the other wing, which is economics. The Islam represents the spiritual and the moral. Economics represents the material and how to build society physically and materially. So you need both. I just want to say that a little bit. Go ahead,
I really appreciate you joining us. I've had some issues prior to coming on the air, and we've been having problems, as I mentioned to you, with the platform, and we don't know from program to program whether or not the platform will be open for those to call in, even for the host to get on or the callers to call in. And 727, I see you, but I want to get this foundation laid with our brother Kareem Abdul-Haq. Al-Islam is more than religion. According to the book itself, that Al-Islam represents a way of life that has the spiritual, the ethical, moral, and intellectual components that human beings need. Al-Islam, I asked the question about a goodly word and what the audience thought about it before bringing you coming on, Brother Kareem. And I know that what Al-Islam offers to the human being fulfills the entire needs of the life that God intends in a most excellent way. And we have in the last over 35 years, we had among us a living inspired leader to not only describe Al-Islam and its the understanding, the perception of it, but also the need for the application of it and the need in the souls, particularly of the African American people, the need for the responsibility of community life, which includes economics. And I see your diligence. I see your focus, your very strong focus on freedom and economics is something that we surely need. And I see your thinking being needed to probe something that the leader left us, Imam Muhammad has left us volumes upon volumes of what my colleague, Dr. Hamid El-Amin, who is the facilitator of an Islamic educational work group, he calls it an institutional memory that we've been left. And looking at the institution, the human institution of economics, Imam Muhammad identified one of the pillars of Al-Islam. In order to identify oneself as a Muslim, we have to accept the five pillars. And one of them is zakat. Well, we look at it, or we've been directed to look at it in terms of a way of charity to the poor and the needy. But Imam Muhammad described it as the Muslim economic system. And my interest is in education. So, I'm probing and I'm looking, I'm telling those whose interest is in business, whose interest is in economics, which we have to have individually as well as collectively. We have to have a way of providing for ourselves and our children. And I'm just setting this up, Brother Kareem. I'm just setting this up for you to share. And so I said, okay, the body is what you can call a natural way of looking at this system, because economics comes out of the created world, and the economy of life, in order to continue it, we have to fuel it. We have to have sustenance, and so the food goes in, it's broken down, and it's distributed. And the language of economics, we see some of this language in production, consumption, distribution. These are terms in terms of business and the world of finance and business. So I'm going to stop here, and you have the floor, my brother. Alhamdulillah.
Well, you could have kept going.
No.
This is a
program where we mutually learn from one another, but I'm gonna share my bias you know, as a Muslim trying to think, my coming into Islam was through the Nation of Islam. And it was only this year that I learned that the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Nation of Islam was not just respecting the physical book called Holy Quran and having it in a clean place on a shelf, but the Holy Quran was taught to in the Arabic. The language of the book is the Quranic Arabic, and it's different from regular Arabic. And that was taught by an excellent teacher, Dr. Jamil Diab. It was taught to Imam Muhammad, his brother Akbar, Imam Darnell Kareem, his wife Gloria, and a number of students were taught the Holy Quran. And I had heard it, but I had forgotten it. When Imam Muhammad says that his father's Nation of Islam represented a language environment, that was impressive just in itself, the connection of language with an environment, and those things that go into what an environment is. But the fact that the Quran was well placed within that environment is something that I didn't give any consideration to until today. And I just wanted to share that with you and the audience, that these ideas of freedom, you know, the Nation taught freedom, justice, and equality. And I've come to understand our history, the history that you mentioned, particularly the focus with the abolitionist movement, which we have to acknowledge Frederick Douglass. But even before then, the one who invented the clock and laid out Washington D.C. Benjamin Banneker. Benjamin Banneker addressed the hypocrisy of this country's established foundation, the Constitution, and the words of the Declaration of Independence in particular, written by Thomas Jefferson. And he did it just as Frederick Douglass did it. He did it in a very, a very diplomatic way. But Benjamin Banneker spoke to the hypocrisy. And it's written, the Maryland Historical Society have the letters of communication between Benjamin Banneker and at that time Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson. And so this freedom movement goes way back in terms of an urge in the human soul. Wherever people are oppressed and enslaved and being dominated, this urge in the soul for freedom comes out. Even in terms of what we see our young people doing right now, you know, a lot of this rebellion and even the killing that's going on has been described by Imam Muhammad as the urge for peace, the peace in the soul, and the lengths by which a human being will go in terms of seeking out this peace. You know, we say freedom, and that's been a perverted word, you know, now in terms of expressions of freedom, you know, but the freedom that we should focus on, according to Imam Muhammad, is the freedom of the intellect, which enables us to get into economics and the preservation of the social life and the society in that way. So let me stop there. But man, I'm excited. I'm really excited to have you on because I have two of your books, and I've had some concentration issues because of health. But and I'm not a reader from cover to cover. You know, I might start your book, and I have started your book near the back of the book, but I haven't really given it a proper perusal. You know, But I'm glad to have you on to share with the audience, with me and the audience, what you have studied, what God has blessed you with.
Let me ask you one quick question. How much time do we have? I forgot what you said.
We've got in terms of how it's set up, from 8 o'clock until 9:30 Eastern. But we have about 20, maybe 25 minutes, because we're the last program of the evening. We have some additional time, about 20, 25 minutes.
Okay. Well, I gave an introduction to myself, so let me give you an overview of my book, the latest book, which is called Islam and Economic Science. And in parentheses,
yes, I have it.
It's for a free and peaceful society.
Yes.
The one in the book is eight chapters and a summary. Chapter one deals with the origin of economics, how economics actually originated. And like we know, most things, when they originate, they still, it's a lot more growth and involvement that has to take place before it, just get more clear. Even with the Quran and with Islam, I mean, the scripture started way before the Quran, and it just a lot reveals his scriptures throughout the ages. Chapter two is deals with explaining the relationship between government and economics. Religion, government, economics. That's chapter two. Chapter three, it explains the free market economic system, which is, I consider it's the most natural economic system. Chapter four explains the free market is compatible with Islam. Chapter five is the original units of measure Islam, like the dinar and the dirham.
Uh-huh.
Dinar was the gold, the dirham was the silver, and there was real silver and real gold. That was how it started off. And that's why I would say the theme of my book is how an economic system is supposed to be, but how it got corrupted and which caused a lot of problems today, and we want to explain how to fix it. Chapter six can deal with Darwin and Marx. It's a chapter just on Darwin and Marx. It explains how they, within the same era, supporting each other, and how they both were like materialists, atheists, and they practiced scientific racism. That chapter explains all that. Chapter seven, it shows how the Quran is incompatible with communism and socialism.
Mm-hmm.
And I use a Quranic quote also, is dealing with cooperative economics. The best cooperative economics that I explain in this chapter and in my book and in my philosophy is we have to learn how to establish corporations. We have very few corporations that I know that I can go and buy stock in. I'm not talking about just an enterprise where got an owner and everything. There's three types of business. You got sole proprietorship, and that's what you have, and we are definitely into that because that's what most of us who are entrepreneurs do, sole proprietorship. Then you have partnerships. That's the second. Then there's corporations. Now, I'm saying that we as Muslims and even, you know, as a people, as Americans, black Americans, we do not focus on setting up corporations. And corporations is so important. That's what we need. But anyway, I'm just breaking down the eight chapters, so I just want to say that.
Yes.
Anybody got any questions
on
those?
The eighth, what was the eighth chapter?
The eighth chapter is dealing with corporate economics. And the best corporate economics is a corporation. Because a corporation, when you set up a corporation is set up where you can sell shares to people. You can have common shares. You can have different types of shares. And shares represent ownership.
Yes.
If you got 10 shares of a corporation, that means that you got that much of a percentage of ownership. If you got 100 shares, you got more, a higher percentage. And other people buy shares. Mm. And other people buy, and this is the way we should be funding ourselves, primarily, than to go and get trapped in the interest bearing the banks that charge us interest. Corporations, you fund yourself. You don't have to go to the bank and borrow a lot of money. These corporations over here in the West, they do that because this is part of their economic system. But we got a different slant. We're trying to avoid that REBA and that interest. So we fund ourselves through selling share. And the problem that I see, that through my experience, is that even when we get big organizations, they do not take enough time to set up corporations to protect the small people, the masses of us. They ask us, which a word I really do not like that much, is pool our resources. But their way, their idea of pooling the resources is just sending us some money and we send you a receipt. I have done that in the past. Yeah. I send my money, and all I get is a receipt and a thank you. But a receipt is not a share. The receipt does not represent legal ownership. So it's important for us to set up the structure, business structure properly, because the thing about the difference between being an entrepreneur and having a corporation or many corporations is that an entrepreneur is temporary. Because most entrepreneurs, they set up entrepreneurs, they might do well and everything, but pretty soon they retire or they die. And somebody else got all over from scratch. Well, a corporation can go on from generation to generation, even from century to century. You just change board members, legal, and you have records. You have board meetings. You have shareholder meetings. You have reports. You have all that sort of stuff to protect the people and their money. And then they pay out dividends. So we can have corporations to do certain things. Corporations are better suited to expand from the ghetto to the global. In other words, we could be doing business all around the world through corporations.
I understand.
So we have to think bigger than just being an entrepreneur. Entrepreneur is good. Like the Quran say, the corporation represents the mountain. The mountains bring setting on the earth to bring about stability. And stability.
That's interesting.
Stability is for the family, for the community, and for individuals. To have an economic foundation that continues. It's continuous. It don't get disconnected just being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I see you pushing our understanding and our appetite, and I really like that. You know, it's necessary. When I talk about zakat in the form we've been looking at it prior to Imam Muhammad introducing it as an economic system, you know, it's along the lines of selling bean pies and fish sandwiches. You know, you have these different individuals who qualify for the zakat, and you know, it's a narrow focus. You know, in the language that we use, you know, giving charity, you know, giving the alms. But when you talk about an economic system, this requires the thinkers and the students to look, as you've looked at economics, in terms of the institutional the institutional perception of it. And that's what we've got to have. And I'll give you an example how the imam laid foundations for what you're inviting us to. He told us about the regular paying of our rent or our mortgage. Okay, you're paying your rent and your mortgage month to month. But what if you could pay your rent or mortgage annually? You know, that's a bigger order, and it requires more thinking. You know, it requires more of us, and that's what I appreciate what you're bringing to us. It requires more of us in terms of structure, you know, in terms of securing the legal structures for accountability. And this is so important. You know, many of us have been disappointed because within our going after money, good homes, and friendships in all walks of life, that's Nation of Islam language from Elijah Muhammad, many of us have been disappointed, some to the point that they've even left the religion because monies were not accountable. Those who had what the business world calls fiduciary responsibility were irresponsible, you know. And a lot of times, you know, we put this trip on the leadership, and rightly so. The followership has a responsibility, you know, for requiring mutual accountability. And this is why I appreciate what you're bringing to us. You're bringing to us a structure that's needed to go into the 21st century in a healthy and productive way in terms of business. And we've got to have business, you know. And it's got to be beyond just, you know, seeing how God has favored certain individuals in the sports and entertainment world to achieve millions. And we know in our own souls, in our own observation, that we've had a social conditioning process that doesn't serve us well in terms of financing and making our dollars make more sense. So again, whatever you have to share with us, we value it and appreciate it.
Like I said, economics is something that we should study. It's not.
Yes.
It's a simple, but the world has made it complex. The world has made it confusing, okay? Like Islam is the simplest religion. Economics is simple, just like Islam. Islam is not hard to understand. Sometimes some people can try to make it hard because maybe they might want to feel, you know, make it, you know, seem like they're real. But it's really basically economics is very simple. That's why I try to write my book and explain it in the simplest way I can. But it's simple. And some key things that you should know. When you study economics, the two important features of economics must be understood. One is a market mechanism, and the other is a proper wealth medium of exchange. Those things got to be understood. The free market, when you have a market mechanism, is what simply means that the free market is a thing that they used back in the day. They've always, the caravan that we read about in history, the flea markets that we have today, the bazaars that we had in the history, the bending that we do, this is what they were.
Yeah.
and they trade with one another freely and voluntarily. There is no authority over them, government or nobody, dictating what a person, how a person should transact with each other. They do that voluntarily. Yes. The person has something to sell. Well, he's going to negotiate with the next person, cooperate the people, and they're going to come to an agreement because when they do come to agreement, they both benefit. They don't need nobody
right.
to force them to trade with one another. But
yeah.
you got to understand what a market does. A free market is where the masses of the people come together in the marketplace. Now, it could be a place where a whole bunch of people are in one little spot, or the marketplace could be spread out. But over a period of time, the marketplace establishes itself as a marketplace for different goods, different services, different products.
Yeah.
But the market
okay,
in
I want
the marketplace is where prices are established.
Yes.
Then you have the market for wages and labor. The marketplace for labor is where wages are established.
Yes.
Then you have a marketplace for capital or machinery, where people rent one another's property to do so that they can use it to make more wealth. That's another marketplace. So in the marketplace for that, for the capital, where people negotiate and they establish a rent. Okay, now this so the marketplace establishes prices, it establishes wages, and establishes rent. But these prices, these wages, and these rents, they're not fixed. They fluctuate through a very thin band, depending on time, place, and circumstances. They fluctuate. It's not exact, but basically, you would know that when you go to the market and you want a loaf of bread, it's going to be basically the same this year as it was last year or the year before that.
Yeah.
It ain't no fluctuation of prices.
Okay.
The same way with you already know what you're going to expect because the market over a period of time have established those compensations.
Yeah.
Wages.
The wages, wages.
And rent. This is a
yes.
market. Government, when the
okay.
government come along and try to dictate, interfere with the market, then they cause distortions and disruptions. They want to tell people what they should sell, what prices they should sell their goods to, or what wages they should pay their workers, and what rent they should charge people. And the market already established that. Negotiation and by bidding backwards and forward.
Okay.
This is all.
Now I want to get
ahead.
You to hold that thought right there. We need to take a public service announcement break, and
okay.
we'll be back after these messages.
Okay.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the community-wide serial conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Are you or anyone you may know big into sports? having a unique ability to deliver opinionated yet knowledgeable sports takes? Or maybe you're a travel aficionado in love with and passionate about all things travel, from cuisine to hotel tips, modes of travel, one with the air, the land, and the sea. Even the best way to save a buck or two. Or do you have an interest in fashion? A keen eye for the movers and shakers within the realm of Islamic fashion? Perhaps a history buff? Maybe you're an expert in law, all things related to the Ummah and entertainment. Or a student proficient in the arts? An environmentalist? You are a renowned activist or a writer with love for teaching and the deliverance of ideas via the pen, the keyboard, or if you're old school, the typewriter. If you share any of these unique talents or know someone who does and are interested in hosting your own radio show, then you've found the right place. Log on to www.cwsc.us for more information. We hope to hear from you soon, and inshallah, the world will begin to benefit from your unique talents and points of view. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you.
Greetings. This is Priscilla Lukta of the University of Islam and Clara Muhammad School National Alumni Association. We support CWSC and AM360 because of their support of our group Intellect. From the Model Communities National Resource Directory and Speakers Bureau to American Muslim 360 Broadcasting and more. Join in helping to build our national intelligentsia. If not me and you, then who? Visit CWSC.us today to make your tax-deductible gift at 910-317-0297. Thank you.
And we're back with more of Not Just Talk. I'm your host, Michael Hameen. Our guest is Kareem Abdul-Haq, and he's the publisher of the 13th Amendment Freedom Week Manual, Educate While You Celebrate. He's got several books that he has penned. The second one, I'm looking for it now. I had it out for me to, yes, here it is. The Islam Economic Science, A Free and Peaceful Society. And he's got a couple of more. And I consider him a find of what I see coming in terms of institutional leadership. You know, we started off with a structure of the resident imams, and then this is under Imam Muhammad's leadership, and he identified what a resident imam is, and that is one who leads by example. It comes from the meaning of the root definition of imam and ummah and so forth and so on within that language structure of Quranic Arabic. And then he gave us the committee system, a system where not only the members of the community could voice themselves, but they could structure themselves in terms of doing physical work to help advance the life of the mosque, the life of the community. So 213, I see you. 727, Amin and Brother Bilal, I see you. But I really, this voice has been kind of limited. It's kind of been like levitated above us, you know. He's been here all the time. Right, is it St. Louis, Kareem?
Yes, St. Louis.
You've been around for a while. Imam Kareem Hameed described his knowledge of you, but in terms of connecting with what we're doing, and I've noticed Kareem and audience, I've noticed that we have this issue. There's so much that we have inside of us that we want to express in a format where we're not arguing and fussing with one another like in the barbershops, you know, how we do. But we've got so much in us. But we've got to discipline this urge for expression, and we've got to hear those that have something of value for us to consider in terms of our individual life as well as our social and community life. We've got to discipline ourselves more. And I'm including myself in this critique. You know, before Imam Muhammad passed, his last address, and I took it as a blanket statement, not just for the audience in Chicago. He said, "You Muslims are too moody. You give charity," and the example that he gave was dealing with monies and the utility of material resources. He said, "You give charity like you want to give it." You know, there's no structure, there's no discipline in terms of the giving of monies for what we call zakat. There's no discipline. And he even described the fact that we don't have to give our monies for zakat to the secretary or to the treasurer. We can personally give our zakat as we choose to give it. Now, is that freedom or not? Brother Kareem, could please continue. We really need what you to share for us.
I just want to take the time, make sure I finish explaining what the market mechanism is.
Yes,
that's,
please.
That's like of understanding economics, real economics. You have a marketplace, and that's where prices, wages, and rents are established. And it's done voluntarily. It's done and it's mutually agreed upon. And there's freedom. There's nobody forcing anybody to trade with one another. They do it because one person is benefiting from more from what he's receiving than from what he's giving up. So when you have a trade in the free market, once it's completed, both parties feel like satisfied that they have received more than they gave up. If they didn't feel like they received more than what they gave up, they never would have traded. Okay? So when you understand economics, you have to understand our mechanism. Then another thing in economics, we have to understand the medium of exchange. Has to be real wealth. It cannot be imaginary wealth or fiat currency that's not redeemable or backed by anything of wealth. And that's where our problem is today. The wealth, the medium of exchange that's being used is forced on us, and it's not real wealth. And so when we start understanding free markets and economics, true economics, we'll be able to see immediately the problem that's causing what's causing our problems. We have gotten away from a wealth medium of exchange. We've gotten away from real wealth exchange. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. This is a conversation, and I'm saying, okay, you've laid out the problem. Now, how do we get to an acceptable solution for us? Particularly in terms of African Americans, because they say when America gets the cold, black folks get the flu or pneumonia, you know, because of our lack of structure, you know, lack of real structural community life. Please go ahead.
Well, there's a couple things that once we see the corruption and what's the cause of the problem, it's not hard for us to understand, to see logically what the trajectory is going to be. When you see a problem, you see a train, speeding and don't have no brakes, you know it's going to crash.
Mm-hmm.
So the economy that's been corrupted, it's been infected, contaminated, and eventually, it's like the medium of exchange in an economy is just like the blood that runs through our body.
Yes.
The blood that runs through our body, the medium of exchange facilitates trade. It promotes prosperity. The blood, that's what a medium of exchange, but the blood is like that. in our bodies. But if the blood gets contaminated or it gets diseased or corrupted in any kind of way, that body is going to die faster, unnaturally, than what it was if it was just run its natural course. So exactly. What I'm just saying, I'm not skipping the subject, but I'm saying that what I see now is that this economy in America, and it's an effect to the rest of the world because of this imaginary money or fake money is destroying the economy, and it's going to cause the economic crash.
I understand.
Who understands that will know how to maneuver out of that way, inshallah. So that's why you have people today are exchanging that currency for real money and setting it aside. So when the thing crash and all the values go back to their normal parity, their normal relationship, that means that the paper is going to be worthless. But if you have protected your wealth in gold and silver and precious metals, then your wealth will be secure. And you will be able to go and buy all this stuff that people can't buy, pennies on the dollar.
Okay, now I'm not putting this all on you. But you, because of your disciplined thinking in this area of money and finance and economics, we need to take, we've been given in terms of what's called Shura Bainahum, mutual consultation. And it's not just folks that got some kind of idea or want to be heard, but the foundation of Shura Bainahum is those that have some knowledge. You might not you don't have the answer per se to a particular question, but you've got some background in terms of a discipline, in terms of a professional outlook. You're a disciplined thinker, and you're a thinker within the context of a particular professional environment. Those are the people that speak up first. The potential of this environment establishing inspiration is there, because this is a facility of the human being. You know, God gives us the intuitive grasp. You know, where something comes to us and we know that we know, but we don't. You know, it was not reasoned out. So that this Shura Bainahum, in my opinion, creates that as well. But we don't want people just spewing out how they feel about stuff, or what is called a fixed mindset, where you're in the religion, but your mind, your thinking is not growing in the religion. You just have the, like what Allah says in the Quran, you know, you got your Islam, and you want to obligate us to your Islam, to how you have taken the verses of the Quran and take them according to your fixed mindset. And I want to establish that right away, because it's too much of that going on. You know, people just taking up our time and diverting our time in a way that's not beneficial, non-productive, and we're going against our own best interests. So, Kareem, I see you have to be at the table in terms of this need for economic establishment, job establishment, business establishment. You know, the public has to be prepared. You know, and the imam did that coming in. He said, you know, you all have to have a budget. How many of you have a family budget? How many of you have your monies that come in? How many of you have that money disciplined to where you know what's coming in and what you're going to have to let go? How many of you have a spirit of knowing what you can do without? So this is a conversation. Kareem, I'm going to see where we are. We've had two hands up since you came on board and we opened up your mic. So I'm going to open up the mic first of 213. I recognize your number. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Amin, Sister Claire Muhammad, stemschool.com. Sister Claire Muhammad, stemschool.com. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Okay, can you hear me? Okay, can you hear me good?
Yes. Loud and clear.
I heard a startling statistic or a massive statistic that brother brought it home. He said during the subprime mortgage meltdown and the recession of from 2007 to 2010 or 11, you know, he says African Americans lost more wealth than anybody in the history of the United States during that time. From 2007 to 2011, because of the subprime melt and that whole debacle, African Americans lost more wealth than anybody in the history of this country. And he brought the point home, and it only reinforced what I was already kind of like talking about: Federal Reserve and Federal Reserve banking and all that. Because that is what caused it, the Federal Reserve, you know. Now, one more last fact. Within the last week or so, Elon Musk, the richest man on this planet, and Mike Lee, senator from Utah, have put together a bill called the Federal Reserve Abolishment Act. Now, this is Elon Musk now, the richest man on the planet, and that brother named Mike Lee from Utah, Federal Reserve. So they know something about what the Federal Reserve is the culprit in this. And you don't forget, we lost more wealth as a people than any other group in the history of this country. So I leave it right there.
Thank you, Amin. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay. 727, hold on. Kareem, you care to respond to the call?
I agree with Amin, and we've talked many times, and we're on the same page with the Federal Reserve Bank. And all I'm just saying is that what I try to explain in my book is a system without a Federal Reserve Bank. And system.
Yeah.
It's a system without a system that doesn't have Federal Reserve Bank or either what's the term? I mean, Central Reserve Bank.
He mentions that often. He mentioned that
Federal Reserve,
go ahead.
Okay, Federal Reserve Bank and Federal Reserve Banking is how the system got corrupted. So when I talk about that, like I said before, I explain how systems supposed to work, and then I show how it got corrupted, then I show how to get it fixed. The Federal Reserve Bank and stuff, and that sort of thing, now Elon Musk and people are addressing, but I've been talking about this for 50 years. Federal Reserve Bank.
But that's, you know, like I said, but you kind of levitated. You know, you don't have a name or a public to promote you out there where you can be heard and your ideas can be looked at. And so this is an opportunity for us, but I want to remind you as well as I remind Brother Amin, if you look at how Imam Muhammad approached certain things, his interest is in the common man and woman being more equipped to navigate these circumstances, being more productive, being healthier. And this is my interest in terms of we got some very talented thinkers among us, but we don't want to be like the intelligentsia of this world. You can look up the word intelligentsia and how it operates. We don't want to be levitating. We don't want to have those that can benefit us levitating above us because they're not connecting. You know, the language has to connect, you know, using terminology that will help us, because the majority of the people are the common man and woman. So we have to give them the skills and the tools to navigate the Graceline project. Is one where they are recognizing this, and they've come up with a 50-30-20 plan. And I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but the way of helping everyday folks manage their resources and look at their resources in terms of what they have to spend. They got to pay for food. They got to pay for shelter and clothing. And that's in that larger amount of 50%, and then the 30% and the 20%. So this is what I call mutual consultation in terms of what you bring to the table, Kareem, and how we need to formulate a mechanism by way, again, this, you know, from the consultation mode that God has given us, mutual consultation, you know, because this thing, by the mercy of God, he has held these dire circumstances back from us. But, you know, those we're walking around since see something is coming, that we can't keep going the way we've been going economically. You know, it's a proof of God's mercy, first of all, and it's a proof of the strength of the economy, I'm thinking. I don't know what you think. I'd like to hear that, because this thing has been held off in terms of the dire consequences. What are your thoughts, Kareem?
Yeah, they keep kicking the can down the road. I don't know how they're doing. I don't know. I've always thought it was going to crash way before now.
Yes, sir.
But some kind of way, they kick the can down the road and make it last another year, another 2 years, another. And but that only means that when it does pop, it's going to be even more devastating. This is why.
Well, like I said, Kareem, a part of this. No, that's the secular mind says, okay, they've been able to kick this thing down the road, but for us as men and women of faith, Allah's mercy is a part of this equation. You know, regardless, even in the darkest days of this republic, in terms of treatment of human beings and that diversity and so forth, in the darkest days of that, Almighty God was never absent from the controls. He's always in control of what he has brought into being from nothingness. You know, so we got to remember and thank God for his mercy. He has been most merciful to America. And perhaps there's some things that are being done, like what you're doing and what others are doing. We've got some unseen individuals that are helping us earn, in my opinion, God's mercy. We've got some patriots that are telling the truth, and that they're doing certain things in their personal life that are really God is being merciful to us. So your thoughts, callers. We're coming to you. We've got plenty of time. We're coming your way.
Yes.
Go ahead, Kareem.
Okay. Well, I try to explain some important features that need to be understood.
Yes.
One
yes.
is the market mechanism. And when you have a free market, that means you have to have limited government, because the government it should not be intervening in the market unless there is fraud, unless there is
yes.
Some kind of theft or robbery. The government is supposed
yes.
to remove those obstacles that prevent people from being free and running their own business. So that's where you have government relationship between government and economics. The government, the best government, like we always say, good government is the government that's governs least. That's
yes.
the government that's more limited, and they're only limited
yes.
to remove the criminal element. They're not there to people and run people's lives and that sort of thing. So the three things you got to have. You got to have free market, you have to have limited government, and you have to have a wealth medium of exchange. A wealth medium of exchange is so important. So you have to have those three things, and that's what I want to make sure that I emphasize tonight, things in my book. But sometimes the people have never read a book on economics or whatever. The book could possibly be a little, you know, hard to understand at first. But that's why I come on these shows like this. Then I get a chance to try to explain it. So when they do read the book, they say, oh, yeah, this is what the brother was talking about. This is what I see right now. Anyway, economics, like I say, it encompasses a lot. And basically, you say, well, nobody know who I am and that sort of thing. Sometimes some of us have to stop and isolate ourselves. Just go get away and do the research that needs to be done. Because sometimes some of us, we just stay in the fray and we're doing all this, a lot of talking and debating and arguing. But sometimes we have to just back up and go and read and do research and study and then come out.
Kareem, that's a very Quranic idea. You know, Allah talks about those who are in the fray, who are on the battlefield. And there are those who stayed behind with the exact purpose of what you're talking about, to help, of war and battling has its effect on the mind and the soul. And, having an environment that you can come back to be grounded again, to be engaged in the productive efforts of society after you have been battling. And so, again, in terms of our going forward into the future, there's a need for structuring ourselves. And I agree with what you're saying. We're going to bring another caller in, Kareem. 727, thank you for your patience. State your name and where you're calling from.
Salaam alaikum. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. You got to make this real simple and to the point. Praise be to Allah. Look. In the system, what I'm doing, we're about to tell you about is something that I've done, with a brother. Had a janitorial company, and it was a system of bartering that they had set up with people. It was a bartering group. So say, I want to get some tires from Goodyear. This is just practical. And then, so we'll go on and skip their flows, and we'll get the tires. Then they might have, might want to get some janitorial supplies from the janitorial people, but he also want to get some ties from the Goodyear people. So we'll swap up in the work, but we make sure that it's all going to balance out. So when they got that system set up, we're basically Caucasian, and they had that system set up for bartering, and that was very practical because we had contracted with Federal Express. That wasn't a big deal. So I'm doing a lot. But look, just to make sure, we don't, let me tell you something. As long as we show appreciation for the social life, Allah is going to reward us with abundance. But show that appreciation for the social life, and this is where it's set up with our Creator. And here, it's another day we'll look at the Book of Transaction by Sayyid Muslim. Called the Book 10, the Book of Transaction. Islamic law of business, contractors, transaction, ruling, and etiquette of trade and business Islam according to the Quran. Islam emphasized that one should be soft and flexible in business transaction. The deal between buyer and seller should be one on humanity basis. Both of the parties, either they will be creditors or debtors, should be free to demand his money back. There's no something go wrong. The prophet, peace be upon him, stated in the hadith that scratches both brotherhood and fair business practices. Do not be envious of one another. Do not artificially raise prices against one another. Do not hate one another. Do not turn one back on each other, and do not undercut one another. Now, even business practices, allow business practices for women. Modest Islamic fashion stores, Islamic books and stationery, homemade craft and Islamic art, skill-based vocational training centers and coaching, home-based takeout and catering service, online courses, boutique shop, sell on e-commerce platform. Islam insists upon absolute justice and fair play in business dealing. A person sacrifices his faith and loses the good pleasure of his own to make a monetary gain has not made a good bargain at all. So just, you know, shine out a light on it and then, you know, and get the details. You know, like Amin and the brother and yes, sir, get the details and see how we fit in. Fit it on in there. And it worked out fine. So praise be to Allah. And Allah reward us. And
you,
always remember that our eyes on the collective body. So that means he wants us to come together in group, you know, because the obligation of our community, that's our obligation. But it's a group obligation.
Yes.
So praise be to Allah. And thank y'all for coming on, brothers. Alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, Bilal. Thank you. You mentioned something in terms of, Kareem, I see your hand, of abundance. And Amina, I want you to press one again. You know, we've got the time. So just be patient. Caller mentioned, Bilal mentioned abundance. And I'm seeing the mercy of Allah. You know, it's not just material abundance. The mercy of Allah from keeping the, it's like the Ar-Rahim, the attribute Ar-Rahim. We get ourselves into trouble because we're moving and meeting the challenges of life and our responsibilities in these challenges. And we may get off track, and Allah saves us from the consequences of this getting off track. Oftentimes, He'll save us from these consequences, and so that's an abundance of His mercy that I'm seeing being given to America, because you're not the only one that said that this thing should have blown up along. I'm using my words, my language. This thing should have blown up on us a long time ago. Imam talked about the economics and Allah taking away the healthy economic climate because many of us have given ourselves to this idea of money, good homes, and friendships and all walks of life, but we haven't looked at our internal life in terms of what's pleasing to God. You know, what does the previous scripture say? A man can gain the world and lose his soul. So, Brother Kareem, any comments? Imam Kareem, please press one again. We're going to bring you in. Go ahead, Kareem. 213, please press one to go out. Okay, we'll bring you in. Welcome, caller. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, Kareem Hamid, and I'm grateful to your to our honored guest. Kareem Abdul-Haq, praise be to Allah. He has worked diligently over the years. You know, there's a cliche saying, the devil is in the details. That's a misnomer.
Sir.
That is a misnomer. People enter into a business and later on they find out that there were details that they missed, and their business fails. So we are grateful for those that actually go into the detail and share those details with us. Thank you, Brother Kareem. I stop right there. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother
alaykum
Kareem.
Thank you. Yeah. So, Amina, we invite you to press 1. We'd like to bring you in. You need your hand to go up. 213, please press 1 to go out. Okay, where are we? Any further comments, Kareem, in terms of your putting light on your studies, you know, for the audience?
But I would, I'm enjoying the interaction. I just want to say that it's important for us, not just me, but economics, it should be, principles should be well understood by the majority, the masses, and we all should take some time out to read and study some and get the basic principles of economics. Because if we want to be leaders, if we want to be teachers, if we want to be successful, we have to know how the game is played. Economics is the foundation to eliminate suffering and poverty in the world.
Okay,
the scriptures
Kareem.
Talk, go ahead,
Kareem. And this is not Brother Michael talking. This is the insights from Quranic logic and the life of Prophet Muhammad. Our paradigm for community life is different from this world. You know, in this world we got, you know, this emphasis and overemphasis on class distinctions, which is problematic. But the intelligentsia, those that you're speaking about, Imam Muhammad invited them to a paradigm for our intelligentsia. He said, and I emphasize this word educated. He says that because everyone that's in a profession is not necessarily educated in the sense of what Allah and his prophet identify as educated in terms of making the connections and seeing the broader picture. Imam Muhammad says, the educated professionals should translate their language so that the common man and woman can be more productive. Now, that's our paradigm for intelligentsia. It's not class-based. It's for getting more out of the majority of the people who are the everyday man and woman. You know, folks with just walking around sense. But they've got sense. They just need the translation. I'll give you an example that I use all the time. There's an imam. I consider him kind of a Renaissance person. He's not just an imam. He grew up in a family of builders. They build very beautiful structures, homes and so forth. And his house is a testament to that. I had the opportunity to stay in his house, and it's like a palace, you know, a palace. This brother said that his daddy told him and his brothers, sons, if you can't see it, you can't do it. Now, that's breaking down the language of the profession of building, of carpentry, building, breaking it down, an element of that profession, in a language that every person with good walking around sense can understand. If I can't see it, if I can't visualize, if I can't use my imagination to get a picture of what I want to do, I can't do what I want to do. It's impossible. So that's the focus that Not Just Talk it on AM 360 is attempting to bring to the public. We've got about 20 more minutes, and those who wish to make a comment or share a reflection or ask a question, we invite you to press 1 now. Don't wait until the 11th hour. Okay, I see you. I see you, 914. Okay, I recognize this number. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
This is Muhammad Sharif calling from Alvarez, New York. Assalamu alaikum.
Yeah. Alaikum assalam. Come on in.
Yeah. I want to go right to our situation now. Go out through all of our communities, north, south, east, west, Georgia, California, everywhere. And we go out through your community, you see that everybody owns our food, clothing, and shelter. Ma'am Kareem, how do we get out of the situation? We only got a few months. how do we get out of the situation when our grandchildren, great-grandchildren come out of school 2 or 3 o'clock in the day, and we see them going to buy their lollipops and popcorn and all that stuff from somebody else that don't look nothing like us? How do we get out of the situation right now, Kareem Huck?
So I'm looking,
brother. Thank you for your question.
Nothing's going to happen overnight. We have to have an understanding of economics. We have to have a strategy, and then we have to work that strategy.
Yes.
And part of that strategy is having a landmark where we want to be. Like you say right now, but where we want to be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now, but that's where we have to have a strategy and a method about going about how to solve our problem. There's two things that I think that we have to teach. We have to teach how to set up corporations. That's not going to happen overnight. Another part of my view as far as elevating ourselves economically, I call it economic expansion. That means that it goes against, it's like if we want to set up businesses, entrepreneurs set up individual businesses, then we have to expand out in the mainstream America where the resources and the money is. We just can't just say, okay, we're just going to stay within the confines of my little neighborhood and my little urban area where the resources and the money is limited. And then we're competing with each other. I set up a laundromat over here on this side of the street. Somebody else set up another one on this side of the street a service station on this corner, and somebody, you know, sometimes we have to expand and reach out and see where a better market might be, where we make more money, and then we bring it back into our households in the urban area, wherever we live. But we got to start having strategy, because what has happened is that has been reversed on us, where people on the outside set up business in our community and take the money out.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
And then sometimes they take the money out. They practice economic expansion into our community. We should be practicing economic expansion to the outside community instead of just, cutting each other down in our own neighborhood.
Yes.
Okay, we have another situation. Kareem, you know, we have a laundry detergent. Two laundry detergents. This comes from our community. The brother who organized this formulation, he's from Nice Islam, and he have other people that are with him. We have two detergents over almost 10 years now, and very few people will even purchase the detergent. Now, how do we reach people that refuse to use their own product?
Well, what I'm saying is that the product should be, my opinion, should be branded and marketed in a generic sense. And don't just sell to in our neighborhood, sell in outside our neighborhood, in the expanded market, out in mainstream America. If the product is good, it would compete with other products, and people would buy it because they see that is more superior than what they are using. And you put it, you give them a better quality product at the best price, they would buy it too. Don't just rely on us in our own neighborhood. Think big. Go international.
Yeah.
You got a good product that people need. A way to market it to all over. Don't just say, "Well, I'm just getting a product. That's what I'm saying. I'm just gonna sell it in this little area right here." Okay,
understood.
It takes time for people to change their buying habits. And
Muhammad,
just, the black thing. This is the black thing. This is the black thing. No, make it where it's a general American thing and sell it all over. Put it in the stores all over the country. And then
understood. And Muhammad, that is. I'm sorry, but I just want to emphasize that's being done with the product that Muhammad is talking about. It's in the broader community, and they've expanded from the soap, the laundry detergent to the kind of wipes, you know, the things that you put in there for softening the clothing in the dryer. They've got that and other products that they've expanded upon. So I just wanted to include that, Kareem, in reference to the product that he's talking about.
Can I ask one other question, then I'll get off, okay? And then real wealth, Kareem, we speak about real wealth. You know, see a lot of advertising about gold and silver coins being sold. Is that what you're speaking about, gold and silver, that's advertised everywhere?
Yeah, gold and silver coins. You can go buy them locally, or you can buy them from coin dealers on a national basis, depending on how much you're buying. Silver is easy to buy because it's like you can buy silver a dollar for about $30. You know, so just start stacking, start buying silver every chance you get. Until in 6 months' time from now, or a year from now, you have way more silver you have now. And then you get and have more money, you can buy a gold. Gold is more expensive. And some people that's working have 401ks and stuff like that, they could transfer that 401k to an RIA. And then with the RIA, you can buy more than you can with a 401k. In the RIA, you can buy silver. If you say, well, somebody got $100,000 or $200,000 in their 401k, they might say, I'm going to take just 10%. Some people might say, I'm going to take 20%. I'm going to take half. And I'm going to transfer that in the RIA, and I'm going to buy silver and put in a depository. Or, you know, if you have it sent to you, then you're going to be taxed. But if you put in the depository or something like that, you won't have to be taxed immediately. But the thing is that whatever it takes, get you some gold and silver. Gold and silver has been around for 6,000 years. It's the original dinar, the original dirham. It's the original medium of exchange before they start tricking us into using fake paper. This is a scheme. This is not economic. This is a scheme. A lot of what we see today, they teach and everything about calling the economics, it's not real economics. It's a scheme. It's to expropriate people's wealth and put them in debt. We call it debt slavery. So you have to be careful. You have to be knowledgeable. As Muslims, we could learn what needs to be done, and then we could prepare. Because I don't want to go and buy a whole bunch of stuff right now. I'm just preparing for when, you know, it might be a bad mistake, but I'm preparing for when it crashes, then I will be able to, inshallah, convert my whatever I've saved into some real wealth and do some more better things, because when that day comes, the people that's got gold and silver, that's got real wealth, some of those people are going to be richer than they thought they're going to be, and the people that don't are going to lose everything. That's how serious it is.
Well, you know, in circumstances, this reminds me, and that's why I brought up what Bilal's comment about abundance. You know, an abundance of faith in God and gratitude. And this is not Pollyanna type thinking. If you live your life morally, if you live your life with regard for God and the principles that He has established for the excellence of human living, there are certain protections, and it's not necessarily that you're not going to come into difficult times, because that's a part of life. The bitterness of life is a part of life. But in terms of how you come out on the other side is documented according to the prophet and according to the guidance of God in terms of how the believers will fare against those that are without faith. We have to deal with these circumstances that we have in front of us. But preparation is something that Prophet Muhammad invited us to live today as though you're going to die tomorrow. That means you've got to be morally upright and principled, a principled person, because there is a judgment day. But another part of that saying is live today as though you're going to live forever. That requires planning. That requires understanding your circumstances and those things that you have to have and those things that you can do without. It's very important that we have these kinds of conversations, because most of us, we don't have that element of preparation beyond a day or a week or a month. And we need to broaden our thoughts and ask Allah's help to do so. God says that's what he's there for. He's there for us to ask him for the help. And then after we ask him for the help, we go get it. And that's why we're listening to Kareem Abdul-Haq, because, he understands a area of life that most of us don't have a clue about. But we need the translation of that language. And this is our offering. We need the translation of that language with a focus, not for self-aggrandizement, but with the focus to help those who have, I'm going to put it this way, have rock walking around sense. common everyday men and women that need the help. They got a good mind. They're not stupid. They just lack the information. And sometimes right. We have to put the information in a way that they can best utilize it. Muhammad, any other comment?
I know. I just want to thank you for bringing Kareem Abdul-Haq on the program this evening. Wish you could bring him every week.
Well, I would like to get him back next week, but that's up to him. We're going to see if the platform is going to hold up.
I would like to also say that Allah wants us obviously we have to know the Quran, but yes. He also part of our faith, following and submitting to the Quran, but we also part of our faith is following and submitting to natural law. Because
that's what the Quran supports, Kareem.
When I talk about the natural laws that govern our survival and the lifeblood in our bodies and the breath we breathe. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Kareem, and this is the point I want to make. They're not separate. They're not two different things when it comes to God's guidance. The way Almighty God presents the Quran is in such a way that it covers all of those necessities in terms of our natural development as human beings. We got to have money. We got to be productive. We got to have an understanding of the more sophisticated development of the money and job principles in terms of economics. We've got to have it, and it's in the Quran. What does Allah say? Allah says, now he says this to, it's a dual message. He says this to the man that's making money, the Elon Musk and others that may not be as rich as Elon Musk. He says to them, seek with the means that God has made available to you, the life hereafter. But don't forget, and this language is very specific, but don't forget your share of this material life. Now, that's specifically for those that think that there's an honor badge in being poor, that there's something or don't see their way out of the poor circumstances. God says that these people, the common man and woman, has a share in the material wealth of this world. And not just a share in the material wealth, you have a share in the responsibility for maintaining that and growing that. All of this is a part of the Al-Islam way of life. And this is why the leading people in the world that follow the devil's sensitivities and way of looking at things with arrogance and disrespect for others, this is why the way of Al-Islam is competitive, historically competitive, in dealing with those selfish-minded, arrogant individuals. You know, we look at what's happening over in China. They've destroyed a whole Muslim community and put the members in a lockdown, you know, trying to convert them out of their religion. This has been going on for over a decade, and there hasn't been much said about it, the Uyghur people in China. But the Chinese despot, prime minister, he knows the history of Al-Islam and what it does for people, and he knows that it's a competition against socialism, communism, and any other ideology, that it competes with them, and it comes out the victor. So I want to make that clear. It's not Islam over here and natural life development over there. There's a word in Al-Islam in the Quran. It's called ma'aruf. And those are the things that are universally accepted for the excellence of human life. They're universals. They're part of the makeup of life and life history, the logic of life and life's history. Those who are successful, they follow these universal principles. And gratitude is one of them. You know, you may not be able to get a hold to some of the principles, but I got walking around sense, and I got enough sense to know that if I'm grateful to Allah and I understand that he's the authority over my life, that warrants me a certain kind of help from him because I'm acknowledging him. So, Kareem, any other comments? We've got about maybe five more minutes, Kareem.
Mm-hmm. Anybody got any questions or anything?
Kareem, this is something that we have to do. You know, we have to use this. Would you tell us about the project that's coming up that you're hitting up?
Oh, okay. I have an organization, 13th Amendment Freedom Week Movement, and it's based upon my book, The 13th Amendment Freedom Week Manual, that I said that I wrote about the history of the freedom movement and how it started with the Declaration of Independence and how it culminated and grew and evolved, and then it culminated to the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment was actually ended slavery in this country. And so a lot of our people do not know that. They don't know not only the 13th Amendment, the 14th and the 15th Amendment. The 13th Amendment gave us our freedom. The 14th Amendment gave us citizenship. And the 15th Amendment gave us the right to vote. Those three legislations are the most important legislation in our history as in America, coming out of slavery. Because everything that we have done and everything that we're doing today was based upon those three. The progress we made, where we are today, we had to get our freedom first. We had to get our citizenship second, and we had to have a right to vote.
Kareem,
so we celebrate and we educate.
I'm inviting you to get to the event because in the interest of time, we've maybe got about three or four more minutes.
Okay.
Tell us about the event.
So we celebrate the 13th Amendment on the day that it was ratified, which was December the 6th in 1865. So this event that's coming up, we put it as close to the December the 6th as possible, and that's what we're going to have. We call it a Day of Jubilee. And that's why we celebrate our freedom, and then we educate about it at the same time. We have vendors, we have entertainment, we have a panel discussion. We always have a panel discussion with questions and answers. And then after we have a talent show, you know, for the community, we have a variety talent show. And so we just have a fun day. And I think that what I think that the Muslims should get involved with this freedom movement, because the freedom movement, it was a part of how we started in the Nation of Islam. Freedom, justice, and equality. Freedom was always a part of our dawah.
Yes.
And that carried into the community and made us known as people that really talked about freedom and love freedom. But now we just talk about, you know, religion, but we're not mixing, we're not combining the element of freedom with it. So our conversation is limited.
I want to ask you a question, Kareem. Can you come back next Thursday at 7 your time?
But we're talking. I try to get back as soon as I can, but I can't. Don't want to commit to next week. There's a lot of things going
this
time of the year. Like,
I understand, but I want to thank you. I want to thank you for joining us. And I'm pressing because there's a one final caller. I see two of them in the line. One has already spoken, and I want to get him in before he concludes. And I really appreciate you joining us. And I want the audience to know we might get cut off because I think we might have gone over the time. Caller 718-344, welcome. State your name and where you're calling from. Caller 718, your mic. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had hit it. I hit the wrong button. 718, go ahead. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yes,
you may have 3 minutes left.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Muhammad, I'm about to talk about it.
Where are you calling from?
From Fort Valley, Georgia.
Welcome. Come on in. What's your comment? And please try to be as brief as you can, because or understand you. I want you to understand you and the audience. We might just get cut off or drop the platform drop. Go ahead.
I'm not going to talk long. I just want to be over. Knew that we had a farm in Fort Valley, Georgia, about 4 years ago, or it was in existence about 15 years.
Yeah.
Did you know
what are you producing on the farm, Muhammad?
What you say?
What are you producing on the farm? I want to know what the product is.
Well, we no longer have it because we didn't get the support that we needed, but we had livestock. We had a halal beef that was raised, cows raised off of a land grass fed.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We need
that.
Well, we had
yes,
that, and it was offered to most of the surrounding massages in Macon, Atlanta, Warner Robins and other areas, and we just didn't get the support that we needed to keep it going. In other words,
that's the issue that we're dealing with. The social condition
right.
that keeps us from supporting ourselves. That's a critical issue that we're going to have to solve. And I heard Imam Muhammad said that, Allah should punish us for our lack of support
yes.
of good men and women who are in business.
And I remember
God
him
should,
saying
God,
that.
God should punish us. And that one day we're going to beg those men and women that are in business, we're going to beg them to let us support them because of the punishment coming from God.
Alhamdulillah, I hope that happened, because I remember I was there when you said he was going to even make dua that Allah punish us for not supporting
yes,
him
sir.
following his direction. So, you know, the reason why I brought that up is because I was on the farm. I lived there for about 5 years, and I did support
yes,
it. And also, you know, I'm a witness that they didn't support it, and it went down. And I was just adding to the fact that the other speaker talking about us not being able to survive or have difficulty
yes.
because of the economy fading. All we have to do is
yes.
Okay.
I got to go, Muhammad,
okay,
because I don't want us to get abruptly cut off. Thank you very much. I don't want us to get cut off abruptly. And I want to end the program with a dua. You know, oh Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us. and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge and none can judge against you, and those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you again, Brother Kareem Abdul-Haq, and we look forward to you being with us again. Thank you, dear audience. Tune in next week. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.